celebration. But we just need one night off to apply that good pressure.
This episode of Typically Tuesdays contains spoilers about the visual novel game A Summer's End, Hong Kong, 1986. Check it out on Steam or itch.io. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University. We respectfully acknowledge that we broadcast on unceded territories of Coast Salish peoples, the unceded, unsurrendered territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kokutlam nations. You can follow CJSF online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube by looking up CJSF Radio. You can also check out our archived episodes of Typically Tuesdays and your other favorite CJSF programs on cjsf.ca. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
Last week, I told a friend to tune in to TT, and she listened to, like, that introduction and that, like, kind of banter that we did where we talked about how we were on, like, Grindr, Scruff, and these things. And I told her about how in older episodes of Typically Tuesdays, we would also say, like, we're on Plenty of Fish and OkCupid and Christian Mingle.
Christian Mingle, J-Date.
Yeah.
And I remember this was before it was, our show was called Typically Tuesdays, I think. This was when it was still, like, Tactile Tuesdays.
Yeah,
it was actually on Tuesday.
Yeah. I think it, when it was, when we were still Jambalaya / Tactile Tuesdays. Wow, what a throwback.
Look how far we've come.
Yes, actually, I think it is about to be my second year radio anniversary.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. I told my friend that joke that we would say, like, you know, we're on Grindr and Scruff, Tinder, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish, Christian Mingle, Match.com. And then she goes, "You? Christian Mingle? Never."
That's great.
She really got me there.
New year, new you. New quarantine, new you. Who knows?
Which leads me to the thought again that I shared with you before we hit record today, Jade. Last year, on our very last Typically Tuesdays episode, you said that the look for 2020 for you was going to be a smooth brain.
Yep.
And look where we are now.
I still don't remember saying that, but I love my past self for saying that, because that was really prophetic. It is not only I who has a smooth brain. I've bestowed the gift onto the entire world.
Yeah. Everybody
We know. Are in a new era of prosperity and smoothness.
Is the brain still soft and wet, though? Or is it, like, hard?
Yeah, I think it's more like jello, you know?
Okay, so it's not, like, porcelain.
Yeah. No.
No.
No, it's just, it's like slime.
it's like the slime in the slime video. We're just made of borax.
We are all slime, and God is the 13-year-old girl with a 1 million follower account Instagram slime account.
What have you been up to lately?
Do you want a normal answer or the crazy quarantine answer?
Isn't the crazy quarantine answer now the normal answer?
Oh, true. It is really the new normal. So, do you want the normal answer or the new normal answer?
Oh my god. the new normal answer.
Okay. Yesterday I bought $70 worth of chai tea.
Chai tea?
Yes. That was, I think, about a pound of tea from David's Tea.
And this was without the cost of shipping?
No, I got free shipping because they felt bad for me.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah.
How long do you think it'll take for you to finish that chai?
I guess we'll find out. It is several different flavors of chai, too. Because David's Tea has, like, 10 different kinds of chai. So I think I got two flavors. I got the s'mores chai, and I got the regular chai.
The s'mort chai? Like, smart...
S'mores.
S'mores.
No, like s'mores, like marshmallows.
Oh, okay. I thought we were spelling smart with O.
The smart chai, the big brain chai.
smooth brain chai.
As opposed to the smooth brain chai, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I have been doing questionable things as well during quarantine.
Okay, work.
All of a sudden, I want to stop talking about it because you said, okay, work.
No, you have to talk about it. Oh, I shared my deep secret.
Oh, it's so awful. There is this franchise of reality television shows coming out of Asia. So it was originally Korean, and then the Korean one got shut down because of allegations of bribery and fraud and vote manipulation. So now it's just a thing that's thriving in China, I think, and maybe Japan, not really sure. This program is a talent competition as well as a survival show that ultimately rests on people voting, or quote-unquote voting, and the end goal is to create a new idol group of female idols, 7 members. Whoever wins the most votes and end up in the top 7 of tier of votes, they will become this new idol group for however many years with a contract, etc. There are 101 contestants. That's the first thing. So if you want to get into this program and you thought trying to remember 12 contestants' names on RuPaul's Drag Race season 12 was difficult, this is 101. Get into it, son.
Oh my god.
The second thing is that each week on Saturday and Sunday, new episodes come out on this Chinese media streaming platform called Tencent. And, oh my god, each episode is 2 to 3 hours long. That is the second thing. And then the third thing is, because 101 girls are being filmed 24 hours a day in one living space and in one working space, there is a plethora of bonus content constantly coming out, like, every single day of the week. And so every single week on the YouTube channels and on the whatever other media streaming sites, there are more than 100 videos being published because it's worth bonus content. And bonus content, like, varies in length. It could be, like, I don't know, 3 minutes of, like, a practice video or something like that. But it could also potentially be, like, 40 minutes of just nothingness. It's just a bunch of girls, like, clamoring in their dorms, sneaking snacks, and, like, doing nothing. And this is what I signed up for during quarantine.
So, is this show popular?
It is extremely popular.
That's amazing.
No, it's not.
Why? Why is it? Why?
Why is it popular?
Yeah.
It's popular.
Who's the targeted demographic? Like,
I would assume people who consider themselves quote unquote idol fans. So, most of the people are young people, who may have like a disposable income or at the very least access to a working internet.
Right.
Yeah. It's that youth culture in China is a thing to be in awe of, but it is also a thing to
like
be,
it.
It's also a thing definitely to be in awe of in many other places, because this show is very popular, I think, among an international audience of people who are into Asian idols.
That is wild. I think actually, well, well, this is probably my first time hearing about a Chinese variety show getting an international audience, because usually, like, it's like the Korean shows or Japanese ones. Actually, no, I've heard of another Chinese show. It's not like a reality show. I think it's a historical drama. That's really popular. I don't know what it's called, but like, people are really into it. This is not very helpful.
Does it feature a homoerotic romance?
Yes, it was homo. Yes, homo.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Do you know? Have you seen it?
It's called Nirvana in Fire. I think I haven't watched it because I think the first time I saw maybe like a poster of it, there was like one female character.
Oh, well, yeah.
It was very, like...
It'd be like that.
Yeah, it'd be like that. Nothing
this says a lot about society.
And homosexuality among men.
Yes. And homosociality among men.
Yes, that also.
All right. I think that's enough brain-dead chatter for me. Let's play some music.
I agree. What do we have?
That was very smooth brain of us.
What do we have on the agenda today?
Today we have a continuation from the playlist from last week. So, 80s-esque synth pop and synthwave music. A little bit of cantopop, lots of cancon. Some good stuff. I recently just discovered that like a lot of popular synthwave artists are from BC. Which is cool. I would not expect that.
Including our queen and dear friend of the show, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And our other queen, queen mother of robots, Grimes.
Didn't she get dethroned the moment she said that she was no longer an anti-imperialist?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like being an imperialist, anti-imperialist, and a queen would be contradictory, so I think she got throned when she stopped being anti-imperialist.
That's true.
She got crowned. That was not the right word.
She got throned.
Like, what is the opposite of dethroned? Throned.
She got yeeted.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah, that sounds good. And the reason we're doing this playlist is because today we are sharing a continuation of our interview with Oracle and Bone from last week. So Oracle and Bone are an independent game studios based here in Vancouver, and they recently released a visual novel game called A Summer's End, Hong Kong 1986. If you missed our previous broadcast, in which we share part one of our interview, you can go on to cjsf.ca, find Typically Tuesdays under full programming, and you'll be able to find our May 18th episode, because today we're doing our part two.
Smooth brain time.
Such a smooth brain, no bumps at all. Today we're going to be sharing in the part of the interview talking a bit more about the writing and the cultural aspects of the narrative for A Summer's End. Here is a track by a queer cantopop icon who we talked about last week. This is Zi Yong Zi Go by Anita Mui.
无奈只一息间灿烂，随云下渐散，逝去的光彩不复还。迟迟念念，难耐这一生的变幻。如浮云聚散，缠结这沧桑的眷恋。漫长路骤觉光阴退减，欢欣总短暂，未再返。哪个看透我梦想是平淡？曾遇上几多风雨翻，编织我交错梦幻。曾遇你真心的臂弯，伴我走过患难。奔波中心灰淡，路上纷扰波折再一关，一片想到归。
Studio 6, CGSS video series, captures high-quality video recordings of live performances.
So, who are you?
That's a dumb question. We're necking.
That's a
dumb
question.
We're a man.
We're necking.
I'm 10 years older than me.
And interviews with impactful and inspiring artists.
We weren't very good at keeping it a secret.
As well as engaging conversations with community members about the issues that are most important to their communities. Watch all of the Studio 6 live sessions on CJSF's YouTube page or on our website at cjsf.ca/studio6.
You're tuned back into Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard That Feeling with Diana, and here is part two of our interview with Oracle and Bone. Historical records of romantic and sexual relationships between women are very often hard to find, particularly if you're looking for that kind of thing from the women involved in the relationship themselves. A lot of it is, you know, fictionalized male gazy work. Yes. and all that, factoring in the cultural context and identity can often
make this research in queer lived experiences even more complex. Could you tell us a little bit about the process of research in writing about Michelle and Sam's relationship and their identities? Or, we touched upon this just a little bit ago, and more broadly in queer culture to 1980s Hong Kong.
Okay, I think we approached this just because we can't find written records of it or it's not in popular media, it doesn't mean that it didn't exist. I mean, there must be so many unspoken histories of women in loving relationships that will never get mentioned. And we kind of wanted to mention or kind of create this in our game. How we went about it was just kind of listening from firsthand accounts, from people who are alive then, and also kind of trying to see for media examples. And surprisingly, they were lesbians and gays in Hong Kong movies from the 80s. That weren't necessarily kind of portrayed as a joke, but actually kind of as their own individual character, mm-hmm. which really surprised us, actually, considering, yes. Growing up, we never heard of any of this.
Even you go back to, Pumpkin Fire.
Oh, yeah, even going back to, 1950s, there's a very popular and iconic Cantonese opera couple, Ba Shi Xin and Yam Kin Fai, and I would go to my grandma's house and she'd be watching it over and over and over again, but I found out much later, while we were doing research for this game, that they were actually, it's never said that they're a romantic couple, but they spent 70 years of their life together and lived together until one of them passed away. Mm-hmm. So
remember your dad said to you.
Oh yeah, my dad.
When you were young.
Yeah, when I was young at my grandma's house, my dad, I remember him. He just snidely looked at me as there are two women, and he kind of just made a face to me as if he raised his eyebrow as if he was hinting something to me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he didn't know what this became.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just you'd be watching their film, and also they have a contemporary one, and also the one that is the
traditional opera.
Yeah, opera. You will see the role and how
they'll play opposites, romantic opposites.
Yes, always, and it's something that you cannot deny. On that, this is something more. We don't want to give the conclusion about it, but it's just something you can think about. That it's definitely people might overlook or don't want to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think Jade, you have a follow-up question.
Yeah, I have a wordy follow-up question. Mm-hmm. So piggybacking off of what Leslie had asked you guys, so positive depictions of lesbian love plays a really big part in the making of A Summer's End. I read your blog post about Desire, and I loved reading about your cinematic influences, which to summarize for our listeners, includes several queer films by queer directors, such as Celine Sciamma, her Portrait of Lady on Fire, and also her entire filmography, which they're totally meditations on female desire without the intervention of the male gaze. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, same-sex romances aren't exactly new to the visual novel genre, but frankly, I haven't encountered many that are as thoughtful and affirmative as A Summer's End. Can you maybe talk more about the role desire plays in the game and the importance of showcasing that?
Yeah, of course. So yes, we approached this knowing it's a visual novel. This genre is not well known for representing positive lesbian desire in a way that's not a male-centric gaze. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to do it right as women creators and lesbians ourselves. We wanted to create media that we wanted to take in. How we approached this is that we wanted to portray their romance in a way that was as realistic as possible, and also in a way that wasn't exploitive to the character and us as a viewer. When you read and play through their story, in particular from Michelle's point of view. We wanted it to represent like their relationship, the desires that they feel between each other. It's a development of their relationship, not so much for our viewing pleasure, but more kind of understanding the character and how the romance grows. And I think like sexual desire is a big part of like not all loving relationships, but this one. And we wanted to showcase it in a way that wasn't just kind of for our pleasure, but just as a kind of like a day-to-day thing. It's a normal thing.
Mm-hmm. It's something that can happen, and it's not different. It's not something like has to be like so super special. It just happened, like daily. Like it's just something that it could be that we have a lot of feeling that we all sort of audience ourselves. We play games and watching movies and everything, and we felt that it's like we want to do something more to support, and like this theme that we mentioned, we just want to really give something as natural and real, like something that is simple and not exaggerate anything too much in the way of the way that's like, oh, it's not just the character doesn't have to be like superpower or anything. It's just you, like us, and how you feel this emotion or the romance, and to learn about someone, to understand about someone, is not different as a, even the same gender. It's just that that's the only thing that other people might read. Oh, it's a you, but this is two girls together. It's lesbian. It's something like, you know, but we want to do something that, oh, it's not different from the normal hetero couple. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked something that you wrote about that on your blog, and I'm just going to read it out, just a little one-liner. We want our viewers to be participants of Michelle's emotional journey rather than voyeurs, which I thought was such a beautiful way of putting it, of creating like this amazing game without falling into fetishism or exploitation. And yeah, I just want to commend you guys for doing a good job of that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate to hear. It means a lot to hear because we honestly, when we start this, this is our dreams. I think both of us had these dreams that we want to do this as ourselves. We want to support others because it's very difficult. Like in that, when we had to deal with it by ourselves, like myself, I have to deal with it. And so, to have the medias out there to support, to let you be able to participate on this, it will give a lot of hope, and you know, to keep moving forward and be positive about it,
And also represent our unique experiences, not just lesbian but also like Asian as well, just because like cultural differences, there are nuances and differences in a way like we might be able to express ourselves or have to relate to in society.
Yes, it's different. We feel that it's true that is in Asia, especially like it's, and many places is the being in LGBT is really suppressed. Like it's not about just like to tell your family or to tell others that I'm lesbian, but just ourselves to accept it is already like so difficult. It's very suffocating. So that's why we try to do this, because we at least we can do something to support, to cheer you up, like I mean other the audience, the viewer, the readers, that it will be okay. And that's why there's a point, we don't want to spoil it, but then the point that is like Michelle had to talk to her moms and stuff like that, is we try to portray as well how that in reality you still have to compromise. Like what we try to say and give this is that we want the reader to feel that it's no matter what, it's not everyone that will suddenly understand the situation and all this. They love us and people around us, but it's something that not everyone can understand. So to make it the best way is always compromise, give a time, and don't upset. Not, like we don't want to make you feel that, oh, you should be upset at other people that they don't get us, but to understand it, that okay, they don't understand, but we can slowly do our best and be ourselves, and that should be enough, and time will give it.
If you're just tuning in to the program, you're listening to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Leslie and Jade here are in conversation with Carissa and Tita, co-founders of Oracle and Bone, a local independent game studio that recently released a visual novel called A Summer's End, Hong Kong 1986. Something that, in my experience playing the game, that I really, really appreciate is, I think, exactly what Carissa and Tita, you are both talking about, is the complexity and the nuance of depicting this intersection of being queer, being a woman, and also having growing up with certain cultural values. I am personally, I'm playing the game with my friend who also happens to be a queer Asian woman. We're both actually Cantonese, and we both really enjoy the game on a personal level. I really resonated with how thoughtful you portrayed like this negotiation of identity, both in terms of sexuality, both in and culture, and even also political identity. Kind of on that note, playing the game, others and myself, we've noticed that the dialogue of the game sometimes like plays out in a way that highlights all of the characters' supporting points, instead of immediately presenting a thesis. So what I'm trying to say is that a character will have something that they want to say, right? They have like a main point, but instead of talking about that main idea, they talk about everything kind of around it. In a review for thegamer.com, Mal Zhang pointed out that this is something that they see in a lot in Chinese culture. I'm just really curious to know if this was, I'm just curious to know if you'd be willing to speak a little bit more on that. Like, was this something that was supposed to be in the game? Like, this kind of element of real Chineseness?
Yeah, it is.
Asian in
general. It's just you. It's hard, I think, in particular Asian culture, to really speak directly, especially about sensitive topics. So they'll do everything to talk around that, even though the elephant is right there.
It's just, it's like we feel that it's like ourselves, everyone around us. It's like if you are quite, it's like Asian, to be talked directly was a little bit not
polite.
Not polite. I mean, it's not polite, but it's like we prefer to talk around it in the way of give this context
to implications.
Yes, implication of something, and it's a part of it too.
I really like that part of the game. That was something that my friend and I really, really enjoyed, like, picking up and pointing out, like, for example, every time, like, Michelle comes home late and her mother knows that she was out and wants to kind of like berate her for it, but she just goes, "Why were you out so late?" Or like moments like that were really, they were like, they reminded me a lot of my own experience. But I thought it was a very creative way to depict and explore like this facet of a lot of Asian culture that sometimes is very prideful, sometimes is very sensitive. So thank you for doing that. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we just wanted to be as reality as possible. Mm-hmm. Something that is just natural, and that's it. How we are, we talk like raised. This. Yeah, it's so difficult. It's difficult just to express the main words that we want to say. But that is a charm about it too, and I think we really like that. We want to portray that. It's also in the story, so we just feel that, oh yeah, this is, we love this feeling too. That is, it's just, you just have to understand it by this implication and all this stuff, but not directly say too much. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Go on,
please.
But for the in the Cantonese, the kind of more like talk.
Oh, I think in Cantonese culture, yes, it is quite direct.
More than.
But at the same time, it can also be very indirect too, in that like difficult subjects, no one really likes to talk about it, but they'll talk everything around it, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, we do sometimes have a way of talking that's like, we have like a harsh thought, but we use a euphemism that's also kind of harsh to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like that part when Michelle's mom calls her a secondhand woman. Yeah. And instead of using maybe like a harsher term, that was a moment.
It's still harsh.
Yeah.
It's still harsh.
Yeah, of course. But let's just very, very that in a lot of people's upbringing, I think, and I personally really, really appreciate that aspect of the writing.
Thank you.
Now that A Summer's End is out, it was released near the end of April, so it's only been a couple of weeks. What has the feedback been like? What has the feedback been like? And how does it feel to have finally released this project that I believe you've been working on since late 2018?
Mm-hmm. It feels like a giant relief, but also at the same time, when we were releasing it, a giant anxiety.
Yes, we had a bad like anxiety. It's so bad.
My hand was
shaking.
Because it's never been. I don't know. It's been something that hasn't really been quite done before, especially in such a genre.
Yeah, it's also a passionate project and
a personal project.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, personal and passionate. Like, we want to do, like, since before we bought up, want to do like comics about this or something, but then we make into this platform. So it's really like, it's almost to us, I feel like we came out again to ourselves, to family, yeah, and to everyone again. It's that feeling, because this is something quite personal. It's still personal in the way that it's just, this is the percent a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we feel a little bit lonely that it's already done, and we still want to work on it, but that's why we have other projects coming and the plans still ongoing. But the feedback has been really good, and we really, yes, really appreciate it. Honestly, for us, it's about that, to hear that, oh, you enjoy it, you love it.
You relate to it.
You relate to it, make you feel hopeful. That is everything. That is make us really, really happy. Like, we were crying, just a comment like this, we happy, because that is what we want to do. Like, we, if anything, the reason that we do all of this, it's just to support.
Mm-hmm. Get back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
What can folks then, you touched up on this like really briefly, what can folks expect now from our heroines in A Summer's End, and what can they expect from Oracle and Bone?
So we do hope, or we do plan on expanding Sam and Michelle's story. Perhaps
it might not be in the same, in the visual novel games,
but
it will be in the comic, for example, and we want, because there's a limit in the gameplay, so that you cannot really portray some part and stuff, but we want to give this into the like storytelling in the other ways to tell more details. Besides that, we want to add more the cultural, the topics, a lot of representation. It might be just a short one or something like this, but we have still have more plan ongoing right now, and we do have a plan for the next project as well, which is going to be the game. Is another story. It's not gonna be Sam and Michelle, but it's gonna be something, of course,
mm-hmm.
the same topic in the way of it's LGBT, that is Asian cultural and more that we want to add in.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about that. Anything thank gay, you so much. Asian, women, I love it.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you. Where can people find the game? Actually, I just thought of something else related to the updates and all that. I read on your blog that you were interested in doing and incorporating Cantonese voice acting. Can you tell me a little bit yes. more about that?
Oh gosh, we're in the process of translating it to Chinese, and after that we will begin looking for Cantonese voice actors.
Yes, because the writing in Cantonese is different on in the speaking to dialogue, so we have to have two versions. We want to make sure that it's good, and then we also have to look for the voice acting, and that is it's very important because it's like we are sure that it's like all the people that play this game have expectation of like how Michelle sounds, how mom's like dad and Joey sound like, or Cecilia. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that sounds super exciting. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that when it comes to fruition. Where can people find the game, first of all, and where can they find like more information about it? You have social media and all that?
Yes, so the game was released on Steam and itch.io for download. In terms of updates, we're quite active on social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook. And we also update our website. Our website's probably the most thorough place to have all the information.
Yes, yeah. And you can look to, I think, Twitter, and quite a lot of, we interact with the people and the question as well. Or you can just email like mm-hmm. anything.
And what is the address for the website and your social media and all that?
Our website is called asummersend.com, and you can find our social media at Oracle and Bone, and that's the same for
yes
Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr, I think.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you. That's what I have on my end of things. Jade?
Yeah, I think that about covers it on my end as well.
Cool. Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Today.
Oh, thank you.
I'm gonna yay, pretend K-Love. That it's fr- it's okay. Whatever. It's fine. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. And congratulations again on the release of the game. I think like all of the people in my life know that I won't shut up about it.
thank you.
So yeah, thank you for doing this, truly.
Oh no, thank you so much. Thank you for reaching out to us mm-hmm. and to talk to you guys. We really happy.
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. As a campus and community station, CJSF strives to provide points of view that are rarely expressed on mainstream media. This includes music that is not the top 40 and news you will not find on the big media outlets. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca. Just end in time.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
That was a fun conversation that we had.
That was a really good conversation.
Yeah, we're taking several times. there's something about a smooth brain that is really special on this program. I like, whenever I think about A Summer's End, I recall, I think about, I just feel so amazed, I guess, because throughout the interview, Carissa and Tito were so, so open and so willing to talk about, like, what they did and, like, what information they learned to put into this game. And as we've said before on the show, it really shows, like, how much heart and how much passion that they have for the project. But even...
Yeah, even, I mean, as someone who hasn't played the game, I can really tell they put a lot of passion and a lot of effort into creating it. Just from watching the trailers, just from listening to them talk about it, reading their blog posts. It's really incredible to me.
Mm-hmm. And their trailer is really cool. It's hella 80s.
It is, like, super 80s.
It's super duper 80s. I just think about, like, how well they have interwoven really, like, every part of the design into the manifestation of this narrative that has, like, certain themes in it, right? Like, when I think about when I read their blog post on sound design, and they talk about how in 1995 commercial radio Hong Kong started to really encourage Hong Kong musicians to create or to, like, kind of publish their originals, because Cantopop leading up to that point was largely covers of Japanese and Western music. It's really cool. And then to think about how that interweaves into the story about Hong Kong identity, cultural identity, and the identity of being a queer person. Mm-hmm. It just seems very clever to me. And then on my personal part of things, there's, like, this joy that I can't really put my finger on. Like, it's harder for me to describe the joy that I experience when playing the game. The only thing that I can really think about is, like, I have in status. Like,
right.
If I went back to high school, which I do not want, but if I went back to high school and for some reason I desired to be a cool kid, like, I have status at that table.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because there are certain jokes that play out in the narrative or certain ways that people talk in the game that really remind me of my own experiences and also really, really make me recall that I don't get this feeling very often in other media.
That's the result of having good, earnest representation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when the writers and the creators of a piece of media really, like, earnestly and passionately represent themselves, other people can see themselves in that piece of media as well. Especially when it comes to, like, marginalized communities.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I guess that's our take on representation in media right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the chai on representation in media.
Please stop.
I have too much chai. I have to make the jokes.
You have to use it all up. That's true.
I have to use it all up. I have 1 pound.
It hasn't arrived yet.
It hasn't arrived. I just bought it last night.
Okay. Right.
Like, literally, we're not even last night. I think actually right as I woke up, I got a newsletter to David C. And they had really cute infograph on how to make really good iced tea lattes. And I was like, I gotta do this. I have to. So I did.
Good for you. We are out here on Typically Tuesdays TT, or for the next year, I would say Chai Chai.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's gonna last you a long time.
Oh, for sure.
And we are spilling the chai.
We are.
You can check out, as Carissa said in our interview, you can check out more about A Summer's End and Oracle and Bone and all that on social media, but also especially on their website at asummersend.com. You can also check out the visual novel game, which is out now. It has been actually definitely about a month. You can check that out on Steam and itch.io. We are hitting the top of the hour here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You can check out more great CJSF programming coming right up with the future show at 4 o'clock and then the interview show at 4:30. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
Thank you again to Carissa and Tita for joining us for our interview. Thank you, lovely listener, for tuning into our program and for your continuous support. Here is a bit of our final track today. This is called Disco Dream Girl, the FM Attack remix by Betamax featuring FM Attack.
Just a dream, you are the one for me.